We don't live like people who have no hope. We have the hope of the world, which is Jesus. Somebody this week said, well, maybe we shouldn't use the word hope. I said, no, we need to use the word hope. We just need to use the New Testament definition of hope, which is a sure thing. It's not like, I think it's going to happen, but the second coming of Jesus is called the blessed hope. He's coming again. That is our hope. He is coming back just like He said when He ascended back into to the Father. Those angels standing by, what did they tell the disciples? The same way that He left here, He's coming back, and He's coming back to this spot. We look forward to that. Eric, welcome home, son. We have prayed for you, and we're glad you're here. I'd like for all of those who presently serve in any of the armed forces to please stand. And those who are veterans in the past, will you please stand? Okay. All right. And if you and your family have lost someone through the service in our armed services in the past, would you please stand at this time? All right. Now, you see these people nearby you? Put your hand on them. Let's pray for them and thank the Lord right now. All right. Lord, we live in the freest country that has ever been on this planet. And we give you honor and praise and glory. And Lord, as we stand on the eve of a day of celebration, a secular celebration tomorrow, Memorial Day, as we remember those who have fallen in defense of freedom of this country. God, today we want to thank you for their very spiritual sacrifice. Lord, knowing that the foundation of this nation was upon you and upon your word and those principles that all men are created equal. And we bless you. Lord, for these that have lost loved ones, I thank you for the sacrifice of these families. For these that have served in the past, Lord, I thank you for bringing them through. And Lord, we honor their service. And those that have their hand on it today, thank you, Lord. Thank you for them. We bless you. And we ask you to protect them. Guard and guide them. And Lord, all over the world right now, people that have been connected to this body of Christ are serving our country and defending our freedom. And we pray for them right now. We intercede for their protection. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Also back with us from Grenada is Lynn Armstrong. She's back there trying to hide behind Megan. Stand up, Lynn. And we're glad you're back for the summer, studying down there. And pray that the Lord will continue to lead her and get her through school, right, Jack and Michelle? Amen. The telos in the Greek New Testament, the end. We, as parents, we look forward to that. Shoot that, John, that announcement about the Back Your Bible Club up there. Thank you, John. As we have the last, this will be our third, this is about fourth year, that we have teams that come through the local association of churches that we're a part of, the Savannah Baptist Association. They have these teams that come called Power Plant Team. that help churches out with things like backyard Bible clubs, outreach events. Well, we've done this last several years, have one coming here, not this coming week, but the next week. And they're coming from Myrtle Beach. And they'll be here Tuesday through Friday. We're going to do a backyard Bible club here. Of course, school is still in session, public school is still in session at that time. But earlier in the day, we'll have them earlier in the afternoon each day. And they're going to distribute flyers, do some other outreach evangelism things for us. But we could use your help to help them. It'd be really nice if we had four or five, half dozen of our folks that could be here in the afternoons to kind of assist them with things. Last year we had probably about 30 kiddos from the neighborhood who came out. I think one day we had close to 40 that were here. But we could use your help. And especially on Thursday evening, I'm going to tell you, I just want to be transparent with you. We're going to try to hook some of the parents on that Thursday evening. We'd like to do it on Friday evening, but Allison Grant is being married here on Friday. She didn't want to share the spotlight. That was a joke. But Thursday evening, we're going to do a cookout here, and it'd be really nice if a number of you came. So, but we would like to know if you plan on coming so we can plan enough food for you for that evening. It'd be a nice time to meet and greet some of the family. Dusty, do you know how many people are coming to this? No, I don't. We never do. But please be praying about this. Put it on your card if you're interested in helping us with that. Okay, John. The other thing is we've got fish fry planned for our men. The kind of tentative date we've got out there is the Friday night before camp, but I don't know if that's going to work. We're going to try to make that work over here, but we'll let you know in an email this week. But you can kind of, some of you guys can kind of interact with me about that. But the fish fry idea has gone viral, and a lot of guys are really interested in doing that. So we look forward to that. All right. One other thing, later on in the summer, several of you have been talking, we've been talking about this for some time, but we'd like to do a vacation Bible school here, inside. Some of you have been with us a long time. We did one at Georgetown Elementary School years ago, but that'd have to be later on in the summer. If you're interested in that, interested in helping serve with that, because it'll take quite a staff to do that. You put that on your card today. We'd sure appreciate it. Also, camp, a little reminder about camp. Be praying about camp. Camp was one of the highlights of the year for us. Begins on June the 27th through July 1st. And we have to date a couple of camperships that have been given. But every year we have probably half a dozen or so kids that are scholarshiped for camp. And we'd really like to be able to do that. In fact, we've got, I think, a half dozen kids from Savannah Baptist Center going to be coming. And they'll all be scholarshiped. So please, it's $125 for a week of camp. And by the way, you can't find a camp anywhere for a week. For that amount of money, as the kids at Baptist Center like to call it, sleepaway camp. You can't find a sleepaway camp that's that inexpensive. So we'd sure like to hear from you on that. And one other thing, while I'm talking about that, this year has been a very challenging financial year for our church. Now, just be cruelly honest with you. We've had some people who've lost their jobs. We've had folks who've had limited income. People who've changed jobs. But it's been challenging. John, would you verify that? You know, robbing Peter to pay Paul sometime. Last Sunday morning, some of you saw me at our 9:30 service. I left in the middle of that. Pastor Pierre was calling me from down Haiti. And he said, I want you to speak to my people. And he's in the middle of his worship service. They start 6 o'clock in the morning because of the heat. And they get done about 9:30 or 10 o'clock usually. But he was calling me. He said, you speak, and then I'll speak it in their language, which is Creole. And it was just fun and fun. And he said, I want you to hear him singing. And he put his phone, I could just picture him putting the phone up and picturing what it was like there. Because we've been there and prayed with him at his sanctuary, which is basically these walls made of palmetto branches that have been woven together, and some sticks up with some plastic that's about 10 years old that's deteriorating for a roof there. And he said, I want you to hear them praising the Lord. And as I was talking to him, they've got a lot of needs. We've got needs here in fulfilling our responsibility. We're missing opportunities in Nigeria and in Haiti because financially we're challenged. We're missing them. And that's all I can say to you. I'd love to be able to do, but for us to be able to do more for them, but we can't. We can't. And I'm just putting it out to you the best I know how to step up to the plate. And I don't believe God's called us in a time where people are trying to just get by and survive for us to be in that mode. I believe God's called us to thrive in the middle of that. And He has blessed us. There's no congregation, I believe, as I talk to other people, I mean, we've had a lot less of the job difficulties and all that than many other congregations in Savannah, Georgia. So I'm asking you to consider that. I was looking at this the other day. Shoot, if we stepped up, we had four families that all of a sudden that weren't tithing that decided to tithe on an annual basis, man, it would be wonderful. It'd be wonderful. I just want you to consider that in your life. Maybe consider giving a little bit more than you have been. Or maybe for some of you to just start to take that step and ask God to meet you with the next step. Or maybe the Lord's just shown you like Mr. Day that found Today's Inn, you know. He said, I started out asking God to get me to a place where I could give 10% and I lived on 90. When I heard his testimony, he was given 90 and living on 10. Wouldn't that be a nice turnaround? Gwen, would you take that? You think you could do that? Okay, all right. I just want to see. Now, if you go out of here and you say, oh, that church, they're talking about money all the time, you're a liar. You're a liar. You lie. Because that's not the truth. This is the second time in this calendar year you've heard me say anything even remotely connected to money. But I'm saying it's a blessing in my life to be able to give. We want to give more so we can keep things going. Hey, we got to keep the lights on here too. It's a package. It's a package deal. Anyway, enough of that. So when we come to the end, I'm going to pray over these baskets and at the end today. I hadn't done that in a long time. I'm going to pray over the baskets and ask God to multiply the baskets because I believe He can do it. I believe He can do it. Okay. Enough of that. Y'all just don't realize how that is a distraction to me, to even have to say that. That's a distraction. I don't want to be distracted by that. For us to have to be distracted by that, to be able to just be what we're supposed to be in every way, shape, form. Anyway. All right, John. We've got a video. Somebody will hit the lights in the back. We're starting a study today on the gifts of the Spirit. And today we're going to talk about, I know the English of this isn't right, but you got a gift. All right, hit it, John.
Do I play hard? Yeah. Do I win? Usually. My name is Charlie Parker, and my spiritual gift is dodgeball. When you ask Michael Jordan how he got to where he is right now, he'd say he practiced, practiced, practiced.
Hey, Charlie, somebody called for you.
He might say some other things, but the main thing would be practice. And that's what I do. I practice. I practice at home. I practice at work. I practice at school. I practice when people aren't looking and when people are looking.
Hey, Charlie, I have an apple for you. Here, catch.
And that's what makes me unique. The key to being a good dodgeball player is to be agile, like a spider monkey. Ironically, that's our team name. One of my moves is called the wing duck and the conspiracy theory. God gave some people the gift of compassion, some people the gift of love. He gave me the gift of dodgeball, and I'm gonna use that unto him, dodgeball. Do outstanding deeds, go everywhere, be all. Dodgeball.
Hey, listen, Charlie, man. Lots of paper here. Got a stapler?
The worst place to get hit is not the head, but the heart. Some people and girls don't understand the meaning of competition. I'm not sorry.
Is that dumb or what? The gifts of the Spirit. There are a lot of dumb things that people believe about the gifts of the Spirit, right? Now, over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts. And I want to try to describe to you over these next several weeks, I want to get personal. My desire is that at the end of this series, you're not going to say, well, Pastor, that was just good information and just pass it on that way. But for it actually to make a difference in your life. Now, why are spiritual gifts important to you? Well, first of all, they're important to God. How important are they? Well, you see the passages of Scripture. Just the amount of copy that is in the Bible about spiritual gifts. Just go to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. Go to Ephesians 4. Go to 1 Peter. Go to Romans. And then go to all the other passages that allude to spiritual gifts. Are they important to God? Of course they are. Secondly, they're an important part of your spiritual weaponry. Now, if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We've been talking about warfare, about fighting the battle in the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." Now, that passage of Scripture talks about our weaponry. And last week we talked about some of that weaponry. One part of the weaponry we did not talk about was spiritual gifts. That your spiritual gifts are part of the way that God has designed you to use you in the world. and be a weapon in the battle that we're fighting. Now think of this. Think of this for a moment. If we're battling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, if we're battling in a spiritual world, don't we need to be equipped in a spiritual manner? To equip spiritually with spiritual gifts, i.e., the gifts of the Spirit that God has given. Now, hold on for just a moment. I know several of you have already gotten nervous about this. Not going to put you on the spot, not going to embarrass you in any way, not going to go crazy on you anyway, but I want you to consider over the next several weeks what the Word of God has to say about this subject. Third reason why spiritual gifts are important. They're an important part of your true identity. What is your true identity? How did God, when He was creating you, He did create you, didn't He? What does the Scripture say? And God breathed into man and he became a living soul. Part of that plan was that God was planning to give you these spiritual gifts. He was planning that you would have this as part of your equipment to live in this world. Number four, this last one we'll look under this, why are spiritual gifts important to you? They're part of your mission. Part of your mission. What mission? To know Him, to know Jesus Christ, and then to make Him known to the world. Well, hand in hand. God is, and you can't do just one or the other. You can't say, oh, well, this is my thing, I'm going to do it. No, that's not how it works. God's called you to be part of both. To know Him, to have a relationship with Him, and then reach the world. To touch the world through Him. Now, we're wired differently, personality-wise, and then He gives us different gifts. Now, let's look and see what a spiritual gift is not. Sometime, if you can define the field, this will help you out. Follow closely with me here. First of all, a spiritual gift is not a natural talent. That video I showed you, rubbish. Dodgeball, come on. No. He might have a natural talent for dodgeball and be able to use that in some way for the glory of God. But that's not a spiritual gift. Your natural talents. Oh, he's able to draw. Or she can paint, or he's good at mechanic work, or what? Those are all natural talents. Also gifts of God, but those are talents, not gifts. There's a difference between the two. We can't get those confused. Secondly, spiritual gift is not through the Spirit. That's another way in the video, he mentioned several fruits of the Spirit. No, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, goodness, you know, in Galatians 5, those are fruits of the Spirit that should be manifest in all of our lives regardless of which spiritual gifts we have. Those are not spiritual gifts. Third, it's not one of the spiritual disciplines. Well, what are we talking about? Spiritual discipline. Prayer. Now, we may have a gift of intercession, but generally in prayer, that's one of the disciplines. Bible study, getting into the Word, meditating on the Word. People say, well, I have a gift for that. No, that's something that God expects of all of us. That's one of the disciplines. It's one of our spiritual disciplines. Are you following me here? Shake your head. Okay, it's one of the disciplines. All right, fourth, not also the church. We did this, and by the way, we're going to make available in a couple of weeks a spiritual gift inventory that you can fill out and take very detailed one. Remember years ago, a fellow who was in our church at the time, he took one of those spiritual gift inventories. I handed it to him in the afternoon. Later on that night, he called me. He was all upset. Dusty, what am I going to do? I'm working out at the airport. I said, wait a second now. You're upset. You're talking about working out at the airport. What are you talking about? He said, well, I have to quit my job. I said, you got to give me more information than this. What are you talking about? He said, man, I just got through taking that spiritual gift inventory, and you know what the top thing on it, it said that I had a gift of pastoring, of shepherding. I'm going to have to quit my job now and go out there and try to find me a church I can pastor. I said, time out. Yes, there is a pastor, shepherd, overseer of a church, elder, of a church that is an office in the church. But there's also a shepherding gift. Said, that's what the spiritual gift inventory has discovered for you. And I got an email from the same guy. We hadn't seen him in years. I got an email from him the other day. And he's got this blog now, and he's ministering to all these people and has kind of does some counseling at his church. And I just had to smile as I was reading that. He is practicing this shepherding, this pastoring gift here years later. I see that happening in his life. All right, not an office of church. It's not a personal possession to be used at your own discretion. It's all about me. This is not spiritual narcissism. Okay? You know, God's not called us to be a bunch of narcissistic ninnies out there in Jesus' name. That, oh, it's all about me and heaping, you know, glory upon myself that, oh, I can use this gift when I want to choose. No. You use it when God shows you and God gives you the opportunity. One of the things we're going to discover is that God continues to give gifts. We'll see that in a couple of lines. All right, next one. Spiritual gift, having a spiritual gift, is not an indicator of spiritual maturity. Because God may have given you certain spiritual gifts, but you may be a novice. Just because he's given you a gift, does that mean you're going to use the gift correctly? According to His plan? Are you following me here? We'll come back to these over the next several weeks. And finally, under this one, what spiritual gift is not, it is not static. It's not static. What does that mean? That means 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. Desire them. That means that God wants to continue giving them to you. All right. So, what are spiritual gifts? I'm going to give you this definition. We'll read the whole definition, and then we're going to come back and very quickly look at the parts of it. It says, what are spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are special abilities given by the Holy Spirit to every believer according to God's grace and design for the use in exalting Christ, edifying the church, and evangelizing the secular world. Now, is that a mouthful? Let's look at it individually. What are spiritual gifts? They're special abilities. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6 with it. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. They're different. Special abilities that He gives to His body. As He's putting us together, and later on He would illustrate by having a whole person. Do we need one another? Do our, are our gifts meant to complement one another? Now, some of us early on will realize and understand the use of our particular spiritual gift. And then what do we immediately think that everybody has to have if they're going to walk with Jesus? The same spiritual gift we have. Wrong. God's wired us differently. And He gifts us differently. Secondly, spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says this, "It is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." The Spirit of God gives them. It's not up to the pastor. It's not up to your mama or your daddy. It's up to the Spirit of God. And by the way, in finding, and one of the reasons why we're going to ask you and give you the opportunity to take a spiritual gift inventory, if you get that part right and you see that, it helps you see who God has designed you to be. And are you in line with that? Are you seeing that in your own life? He's wired you to be in that direction. Now, we're going to expand your definition, I hope, of how that gift is applied. Because so often, we think of spiritual gifts as just the things that are just used inside of the body. I'm telling you, the place where the church in America is missing the use of spiritual gifts is out there in their jobs and in their homes and in their neighborhoods where it is most needed. As He throws us out. We just gather here. We gather here as a large body. We gather in our small groups. But then God throws us out into the world to be salt and light. And how does He equip us? With spiritual gifts. To be used. Now that's a teaching I want you to know that you're not hearing a lot of from a lot of pulpits in America. Because it doesn't fit in our little narrow, defined thing about spiritual gift. God wants to use us according to His plan. Number three. Spiritual gifts are given to every believer. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit. See, it's the manifesting of the Spirit. That's part of the... And God's going to manifest Himself in Brian's life in one way, and He's going to manifest Himself in my life another way. Lord knows we don't even look alike.
Amen.
Thank you, Brian. I got you up here to be a blessing. But just think, we're different. God's wired us differently. He's put us in different places. He's given us different spiritual gifts. I can't tell you exactly what Brian's gifts are, but I know we're different and we need each other. Sit down with this gifted woman that God has given you. He gives to every believer. People, this all shucks pawing at the ground. Oh, I don't have any gifts. Liar. When you got saved, God came and baptized you in the Holy Spirit. Now, did you realize that was happening? Some of us, we have to realize that happens later on and receive. He wants to fill you with Himself. He gifts you. He gifts you. You got at least one. What are you doing with it? And what is it? You probably got multiple. It's every believer. Number four. According to God's grace and design. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Now, hear me on this. So when God gives you these gifts, He not only gives you the gift, He prepares the field out there for you to use that gift in. Do you believe that? What happens when you place yourself at God's disposal? Isn't it amazing when I give myself to the Lord and I say, Lord, I want to be used by You. And I'm willing to give my gifts. And He opens up opportunities for you to use that gift. That day. Do you believe God's big enough to do that? He grants the grace for you to do that. What's grace? Grace is getting something you don't deserve. I don't deserve that opportunity to use my gift and to have that much thrill to see the Holy Spirit pumping through my life and to see God bless in that way. But He gives me that anyway because He loves me and cares about me. Am I stretching you yet? If I'm not, you're not listening. Because this is stuff we're not applying in our lives, I suspect. Number five. And these gifts are for exalting Christ. Look at this. Verse 12:3 again. For the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Do you ever get to thinking about yourself more highly than you ought? Be honest. This is a trick question. Be honest. Yes, you have. Every time that you thought, well, I'm just right and they're wrong. That's what you were thinking right then. So we can't play that all shucks mentality. No, I've never thought that. I've never. Biggest fool is the one who'll fool himself. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Our gifts are to be used in exalting Jesus and lifting up the Christ. Lifting Him up in Savannah, Georgia. Is He being lifted up in Savannah, Georgia? Somewhat, but do you believe there's an open heaven over Savannah right now? Or are things closed up? I believe it's got a lot of clogs in it, if you ask me. Just my opinion. I talked to a fellow who's Jewish, who's remained nameless, but he deals with a lot of Jewish communities around Savannah. He is not completed yet. He does not recognize Messiah yet. And I asked him, I said, just tell me, what have you run into in Savannah, Georgia? What have been some of your difficulties? He said, everybody wants to stay in their little cubicle over here and over here and over here and over here. Is that not right? Generation after generation. I believe God wants to exalt His Son Jesus in Savannah, Georgia, and bring such unity to the body of Christ that there'll be no bond or free. There'll be no male or female. There'll be no such thing as black or white or red or orange or polka dot. It'll all be one because He's getting us ready to reign with Him forever. And we're going to reign as one body. We need to get a head start on that. And start acting like that as one in Him. These gifts would be used in exalting Christ. Number six, for edifying the church. Since you're eager to have spiritual gifts, ask God for those that will be of real help to the whole church, to build up the church. I had somebody come to me the other day, this is several years ago, in another church I was pastoring. They said, well, Pastor, God has just given me the calling of telling the truth. Now, does that already strike a chord with you? And I've just got that gift. And I'm thinking to myself, no, you have a gift of gossip. Because Jesus has nothing to do with your truth. Because you're tearing down the church and you're not building the church up. Do you understand me? Our gifts are given so we can build up the church, the body of Jesus, this bride, to work together. And finally, He wants to use our gifts in evangelizing the secular world. God's given gifts to each of you from His a great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. And I want to ask you, is Savannah, Georgia receiving the generosity of Jesus today? No, they're not. No, they're not. The door is closed. And oftentimes the reason why it's closed is because we haven't been the conduit wherever we go. Now, what's the chance of getting all of Savannah into all the church buildings all around Savannah? Slim and none, and Slim left town. Not going to happen. So where's it going to have to happen? It's going to have to go viral. It's going to have to be out there in society where you live and work and play and are rubbing shoulders with people. And great if God blesses us here with His presence and He comes in power here, but even greater as His power just falls all over the city and we see people coming to Christ and people being challenged about Jesus. They're just waiting. Listen, there's nothing wrong with the gospel. There's nothing wrong with the harvest. The problem is in the harvesters. The problem is in us in using our gifts to share. Now, let me give you an example. Just as I said, well, Dusty, I'm not as gregarious as you. Listen. Yeah, God uses some mouthpieces to speak forth things. How about somebody that has the gift of helps? Can they be used in Savannah, Georgia? Can you use the gift of helps in your neighborhood where you're going to help others quietly behind the scenes? And after a while, people start noticing that, don't they? Why are you doing that? And you get to tell them then. Why? All right. Finally, here's some beginning questions in this new series to ask myself. First question is, do I have God's greatest gift? Do you? What's the greatest gift of all? Jesus. First of all, do you have the giver of the gifts? Is He living in you? First question, we don't need to talk about gifts until you get the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Secondly, am I willing to explore this subject with an open mind and heart? And I ask you that today. I've thrown a lot of stuff at you today. Are you willing to explore it with an open mind and heart over the next several weeks? Third question. Will I listen to the voice of God as He speaks to me? Now hear me. I say this often. My prayer is that everything that I have spoken today that is not of the Holy Spirit will drop to the ground and not be remembered by you. The other half of that prayer is that every single dot, every tittle that has come out of this mouth today that is of God and spoken by the Spirit, that you will not be able to forget it. Those songs we sing, every single syllable, did you hear the great truth that was coming with great joy? Well, we've had great joy and worshiped today. It's been wonderful to come and gather. Will I listen to the voice of God as He speaks to me? And the final question, am I willing to do what He says, to obey? When I know it's God that's spoken, am I willing to obey? Now I stand before you, as one of your pastors. I'm saying to you, I want God to stretch me. I'm not saying God stretch them. I'm saying God stretch us and start right here. I don't know how much plainer I can make it to you. What's the Lord saying to you today? Let's bow our heads. I put a lot of information out there today. I know I've been a lot of places today. I feel like Ricochet Rabbit. And pray for us. Holy Spirit of God, we ask you to come now. We open the altar. We're asking you to reveal to us, reveal to each one of us where you want us to start with this, how you want us to be open. Lord, what gifts do you have right now that you want to give to your body? What are you speaking to us? Lord, we can't just go on being the same. We make this prayer in the name of Jesus, our Savior. The altar is open. I want to send you out in the joy of the Lord. Do you know the joy of the Lord is attractive to people? To have His joy upon you. Not some fakey, hokey dokey kind of joy, but real joy. Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, we just send out your body into the world to be the great joy that is attractive to people. The joy of Jesus, having you, Lord, as Lord of our lives forever. Lord, send us into the fallen, broken world that needs you today. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you.